And what I mean by difficult is it will always or throughout, it will point back. And so it will, what the writer of Hebrews does is looks back to the Old Testament and through some of the ways that God had been speaking and working. And ultimately, what he does is he begins to talk about how Jesus is greater. In other words, that in some of the ways that God spoke or led, that he used men, but now he has come himself. Or in the ways in which the Holy Spirit inspired men to tell of things, now God has come in the flesh and he has left us his Spirit to come on each one of us. And so what he is constantly doing is pointing to how God did things, but then helping us to see that Jesus is a greater priest, that he is greater. And so what we'll see throughout is just this picture that is painted. And I believe that what it will do is it will help us to see Jesus the way we're meant to see him. And in doing so, it will lead us to worship him as he has intended us to worship him. Now, maybe like me, you have reached a place in your life where you have so desired God to just speak. Maybe it's come at a point of struggle or trial, a point of maybe just loneliness, a point where you needed to know a very clear answer. Maybe an opportunity came up, or maybe your family was just, or you yourself was in a situation, and you so just desired God to speak. And like me, maybe you have at times just been left with not knowing what your next step is or what he really wants you to do. My prayer is that today, as we look at how God has spoke, that we would be encouraged, that we would be challenged, that we would maybe have some clarity as to discern or to know ways that we can truly hear from a God who wants to speak to us, who wants to lead us, who wants us to know his next step. Because what we have seen is throughout the time of creation is a God who wants to be and have a relationship with us. And so, like me, I've been very encouraged that, as we'll see in the scripture, we'll see today in the passage that God spoke a couple of different ways. First, we'll see that God spoke before Jesus came in certain ways. And then since Jesus has come, he has spoken a different way. But what we'll see throughout is that God is speaking to us. And in speaking to us, he wants us to know him and walk with him and trust him. And so, let's dive in. If you have your Bibles and turn with me, we will start in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And if you don't mind, if you're able to, stand just in honor of the Word of God. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We pray that today, as we dive in, that you would open our eyes to see. Help us to understand ways that you speak and have spoken, and that today we would leave here with a renewed passion to seek you and to seek your presence, to acknowledge your word. And we thank you for how you lead and guide us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Hebrews is a book of the Bible, a letter to, which just addressed to the Hebrews. Now, there are some things that we don't know. We don't know the author. I think that it is always wise when you come to a book of the Bible to ask yourself some clear questions. Who wrote it? Who were they writing it to? What were some situations that were going on? And ultimately, what is the message of the book? And so here, there are some things we don't know. We don't know who wrote it. Now, there are many who speculate, but it's just that. Someone say maybe it's Paul, though different language than most of Paul's books, even from the beginning. Most of the time, Paul addressed who he is writing it to and even said that he was the one writing it. Some say Peter, much of the same different language than Peter used in his letters. Some would even say maybe Apollos, but again, we just don't know. Who is it written to is another great question to ask. And as we think about who it's written to, there are many clues given throughout the book, but never specified as to the church at a certain place. And so, looking at what he is assuming that they know and to how it is written, it appears that this is written to Jewish believers, people who have believed in Jesus and are following him, but are Jews. So not necessarily Gentiles, which many other letters are written to Gentiles or to both groups there. There will be some people that maybe are insinuated throughout, and as we come to those, we'll look at how he is pointing maybe some certain things or cautions to them. But for the majority, we can believe or at least see that this is written to Christians who are Jews. And so, in understanding that, I think it will give us clarity as we go along. Because there's a lot of things that he's assuming that they know. And a lot of it, he is assuming that they know about Jewish history. They know about the writings of the prophets and even of the priestly ministry of the priests of the temple. So it leads us to assume that they would know some of those things. And so as we dive in, there is much that we want or will discern in knowing who he is writing to. All of us want to hear from the people that we love, right? We want to hear them speak to us and things that they say. I remember when, Lindsay and my girls aren't here this morning. They went to watch a baptism of someone in our family, and so they get to be picked on when they're not here, okay? So don't tell them. But I remember when Allie was first started talking. She was our first and only at the time. And she started speaking like really young, especially compared to the other two. And so I remember she was about one, maybe one and a half or so. And I remember pushing her in the front yard in the swing. And as she would come forward in the swing, she would look down to the end of the road and see some cows down there at the end. And so I remember just asking her, you know, she would come forward and she would say moo. And, I knew what she was talking about. And so I just started asking her some questions, and I remember, so she's coming, and I said, hey, Allie, you know, where does milk come from? Thinking that we've already kind of laid the groundwork for how she was going to answer this. And as she came forward, I remember her saying, Mama. And I was like, well, that's very true for you right now. My girls have always loved to sing, and that's how they communicate a lot of times is singing songs, and we've always have different songs on the radio, especially as we travel. And Tinley was singing in the car one time, and there's a song, and the words are, this is my freedom hymn, talking about like a hymn of the Lord, and it repeats it, freedom hymn. But I just remember Tinley being in the car singing, and it's funny sometimes the wrong words that they sing that they think they're right or whatever. But she was singing, and she would raise up her hand, and she'd say, this is my freedom hand, you know, and but we love hearing people that we love speak, right? We love hearing what they say and have to say. And my girls, it's just hilarious over the years, the things that they say. But how much do we want to hear from our God, right? We want to hear what he has to say because we know he loves us. And we know that he is far greater than us. And so we want to hear his words. We want to hear what he has to say. And here the writer tells us how he has spoken. And so the first way that he tells us is before the coming of Jesus. In other words, he says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, this is how he spoke. He spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Now, the first thing I want to see is that God spoke. He has been speaking from the beginning. He wants us to know him, and he wants us to know his plan for us. He has had this redemptive story from the very beginning, and he's been speaking. And he spoke in so many ways and at many times, and I'm so thankful of that because there are some times that he speaks that we don't fully grasp, But then there are other times when we read in specific ways or through the Psalms where, man, it speaks directly to our hearts and we're like, yes, that was for me. And so aren't you thankful that he has spoken in many ways and by many means? He mentions specifically by the prophets. The prophets spoke these things and wrote them down through the power of his Spirit. Amen? And we're able to read them today so that when things would happen, they would follow along his redemptive plan, we would know. We looked at this in detail last week as Jesus appeared to two people as they're walking on the road to Emmaus. And he started with Moses and began to help them to see all the things that would happen that pointed to him. And thank God that we have those written down, that we can know them and hear them and recognize them as they come and as they happen. But he also spoke in many ways and at many times. Now, so when we think of it this way, starting with creation, right? I love Ray Comfort in Way of the Master as he talks about and asks questions just like a painting proves that there's a painter, so creation proves that there's a creator, right? When we think about just how detailed everything in us is and how miraculous that even how our body heals itself and all the things that happen, it all points to a creator. And we can see this. And Romans 1 unpacks this really well as Paul is helping us to understand. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Though there's a God, and we can see it in creation, we see that people have suppressed the truth about this from the beginning. "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them." And he goes on to say, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." So here's the thing. From the very beginning, people can see because of creation and all that it is that is a part of creation and all that it is there. We can see that there is a God and even can see the attributes and power of God. And so every single person, as they stand before God, will be without excuse, which leads us to even more of a burden and a passion to go and proclaim Jesus, right? Here are these people who will stand before God, and if they have not yet heard of Jesus, will spend eternity separated from him. And so, we must be about proclaiming him. And so, the first way that God has spoken is through creation, and this is a general revelation. It is just in general, there is this powerful God. We can see that he is a creator, and he has created us. But then there is special revelation, which is God speaking, God revealing himself. Look at all these ways. These are just some examples. These are definitely not all the ways in which God has spoken. But angels, dreams, visions. We see even with Joseph, he saw in a vision that his brothers would bow down before him, right? Writing on the wall. We see this in Daniel where the king, there's just this mysterious hand that starts writing on the wall. We see talking through a donkey, right? And don't be pointing at anyone. He's talking about a literal donkey that he talked to. Cloud by day, fire by night, burning bush, great fish. Verbally, he spoke. Even I think of Elijah, where remember is the still small voice in which God's voice was in and he spoke to him. I mean, so many different ways that God has spoken through the power of his Spirit. And he is still speaking today. He says, "In these last days, but in the last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." He says, God spoke through the prophets, but now, in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Greater than a prophet, not a mere man, but instead, God came down to earth and came himself to speak to us. And now think about especially having just celebrated the resurrection. God came and was born, was crucified, was buried, rose from the dead. Think of the how powerful that is and what that speaks to us. It is a God who loves us and came, and though we could not pay for our own sin, he came and died for us. And so you see here, as the writer of Hebrews is helping us to understand, is he's saying, hold fast. Realize how God has come and shown his love for you, how he has made himself known. Yes, long ago it was through prophets and dreams and angels and all those things, but now Jesus is far greater than them. It is his own son, his own heir, who has all things. But more than that, we see a couple of ways. God in the flesh. Here he came, himself, and he has spoken, superior to the prophets and the priests, not by words, right? We're not talking about his words are superior, but he himself is superior. We know that the words of the prophets were through the power of the Holy Spirit, so the word is the same, right? The word is powerful, but what he's saying is that look at the messenger now, and he's going to unpack at how and why Jesus is greater. He's a greater priest, we'll see in the days to come. Well, he's the greater prophet. He's greater than them. But he is the heir of all things. He will own all things. He has all things. And so therefore, his promises will be sure to be fulfilled. So when he says things like, I'm going to prepare a place for you, we can trust that he owns all things. Or when he says that there will neither be nor tear or pain, we can trust he owns all things, and so therefore his promises are true. He created all things. This is huge that we understand. There are so many times people want to separate Jesus or the Holy Spirit from the Godhead. They are God. There is one God. And in the one God, the Trinity, there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it is important for us to know and believe that Jesus was there. Jesus created everything, but the Holy Spirit was there. I love how John starts off his gospel in John 1. Turn there with me if you would. I want you to see this. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Here talking of Jesus. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Everything was made through Jesus. We see that. His power. The writer of Hebrews would go on to even say that he upholds the universe and the power of his word. Other places in Scripture, it tells us that everything is held together by the power of Jesus, power of his spirit. And so when we see here who he is talking about as the one in which he speaks by, he is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the exact imprint of his nature. This radiance, as it talks about the radiance, it almost in many ways points back to the Shekinah glory. It is this brightness of the presence and glory of God. It is that same brightness that Moses had to put a veil over as he came down from the mountain and being in the presence of God. It is Jesus is that radiance. He's the exact imprint of his nature. Jesus went so far to say, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." So God speaks to us and has spoken to us, and he has sent himself in the flesh so that we would hear and know. He also talks about making purification for sins. This making purification for sins, this word purification is a word that speaks of the temple sacrifices and the cleansing that happens. And we'll unpack that a little bit more here in just a moment. But I want to start here with sin. Why was purification needed? When we talk about sin, we must understand that sin is anything that we do against God. It is rebellion against him. And throughout Scripture, we have seen what God does to rebellion against him. We even see in the with his God's chosen people, the Israelites, when they rebelled against him or disobeyed him, that many of them were even kept from going into the promised land. They died in the wilderness. Or other times that they disobeyed him, he sent snakes among them where they would be bitten. And even in being bitten, that they would surely die unless they trusted in something in which God had set up to give grace. Clear picture of Jesus. Jesus even points to this when he's talking to Nicodemus. He also talks about sin and sin against God as a curse, and how Jesus died for the sake of a curse, and how ultimately he would be cursed, those who would be hung upon a tree, right? And so when we think about who we are as sin, I think so often we talk about God being this loving God, and he is, and that is true. But I think because we are so cautious to maybe bother people or worry people, we neglect to talk about what God does with sin. God hates sin, and God punishes sin. And even points that the wrath of God is against sin. We read that even in Romans just a while ago. The wrath of God is coming against the unrighteousness of man. You see, it is important that we understand that our sin, your sin, my sin, that our sin, God hates, comes against. Throughout Scripture, what he calls those who sin is a curse. Those who have been bitten by a snake that apart from the gracious gift of God will die. Almost even this picture of a disease that we have that is incurable, but yet God has made a cure, right? And it's important for we realize that so that when you and I speak of the position that people are in before God, we must help them see that one day they're going to stand before a holy God who is holy, holy, holy. And that is a problem because we are not holy. We are sinners. Having a curse, having been snake bitten, having a disease that, if not cured, we will die from. You see, it is important that we realize our position because it is only then that we see a need for a Savior. We can't heal ourselves, so therefore we needed someone outside of ourselves to come to pay the price. And so when Jesus comes and becomes the purification or making the purification for our sin, what he is doing is he's talking about the atonement of the blood that has been shed. That his blood and this new covenant of his blood, we can be healed from the curse. We can be healed from the fact that we've been bitten by the snake, having rebelled against God, that our disease can be healed. Because purification has been made. Do you see that? And so, when the writer of Hebrews now talks about this Jesus coming, this Messiah coming, one who is the heir of all things, one who created all things. These are language of God himself. God himself has come. God himself has made a way. God himself has paid and purified. And it's not just a purification like the sacrifice in the temple where a sacrifice is made and then it has to happen again once you sin again. No, it is a purification that is eternal. We now can be in a right standing with God, having been perfected by the blood of Jesus. And so today, as we celebrate and remember what Christ has paid upon the cross, we can rejoice. As Drew pointed us, our identity, our rejoice is not in what we can do. It's not in what we can overpower. Our being able to rejoice and worship is that our names, grace has been shown to us and our name is found in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've been made new. We've been healed of the curse. We have been forgiven of the unrighteousness. Purification has happened for our sin. Now we can stand. But it's important that we realize the promises and walk in those promises. Did you know that you can be set free, but those still believe that you're held back by what you do. And I think often this is some of us. We have failed or struggled or messed up, and the enemy wants us to be tied to that identity and who we were in Christ, before Christ. You see, once the purification of sin has been made, and once that transaction has happened in our life, and the Holy Spirit has come and made us new and transformed, we are now new in Christ, set free. And so we walk in Him and we trust in Him. We've been purified. And so I love how the writer of Hebrews puts this in chapter 10. Look at verse 4 in chapter 10. He says, "For by a single offering He has perfected for all time." Perfected for all time. Single offering for all time. Those who are being sanctified. One offering, Jesus. The final sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, has made purification for your sin and for my sin. And so, when we trust in this God, the name that is above all names, the name that is higher than the angels, the name above all names, where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, when we trust and surrender to that God, we are made new, never, never to be the same. So therefore, what are we to do? We must understand that God speaks. He speaks by His Word. He speaks to us by His Holy Spirit. This morning in our small group, we talked about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit was to come upon the people and embolden the people to multiply the church. Amen? We ought to see the effects and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. I've told you this before, especially as we've mentioned the people that God used in the Old Testament, that I believe there are many people that I would love to be able to go before and just ask, like, what happened there? You know, I mean, like, we don't know all the details, like Daniel in the lion's den, like, what really happened that night, you know? Or even, you know, we know David picked up 5 stones, like, why'd you pick up 5? You know, you hit him with the first one, you know? I mean, I don't know, like, some of these questions that we have, like, what was it like when you walked around Jericho and, you know, that 13th time or 7th time that day, like, how did the walls fall? Like, was there an earthquake and they just kind of just fell? Or was it like, you know, like they just blew up? I mean, there's just these things, questions. I don't know. Maybe you don't have, I have some of those. But I wonder if those same people would then turn around to you and to me and be like, tell me, what was it like to have the Holy Spirit of God in you every day? What was it like to be filled with the Holy Spirit to where that Holy Spirit would speak through and empower and embolden? How many of us would have to look them in the eye and say, you know, I don't know, but I wish I did. Do we believe what God has done? Do we believe and trust that He is with us? Like, do you believe that when you step into your job each day when you go to work, do you believe that the Holy Spirit is with you and in you to empower you and embolden you to proclaim Him? Do you believe that when you go to school, that when you walk through those halls, that the Holy Spirit is like leading you and empowering you? Do we believe these things? Jesus tells us this in John 14, 26. He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." In John 16, 13, it says, Jesus even says, it's better that I go. And then in verse 13, it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and He will declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you." You just hear of Jesus just talking about the Trinity. Oh, He's going to take what is Mine. He's going to share those things. And whatever Mine is, the Father's. And He's going to come. Even later on in verse 17, He's praying. He's saying, "I and the Father, we're going to come and we're going to manifest ourselves to you. The Holy Spirit is going to come and He's going to fill you." And He's going to, it's like Him not, this. He's always talking about how God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, how they are going to come and they're going to show and lead. Listen, we have the Spirit of God with us. We must trust the Spirit to lead us. Rarely do we even acknowledge his presence in our day-to-day lives. Do you see, the writer of Hebrews is telling us Jesus has come. God has come in the flesh. The Spirit of God continues to lead us, trust him, walk with him, know him. And so how do you know? How do you know? How can you discern the will of God? These are questions I get asked all the time. And I just want to tell you just some things that I believe that God uses in my life. The first one is there's a word from the Word. Listen, if you want to hear God audibly, read it out loud, you know? I mean, this is the Word of God. And so if you want to hear from God, read the Word of God. If you want to hear it audibly, read it out loud, right? I mean, this is God's Word, and I think that sometimes we don't believe that. I want to hear from God. Oh, he's spoken. Read it. If you don't feel like you know or walk with or hear from God, man, spend time with him. Read his Word. Wise counsel. Listen, when I get people who love and seek and are pursuing the things of God, if I don't know, like if there's a situation in life, I have to make a decision, but I don't know, like, is this opportunity of God? Like, am I supposed to take this job or not, or stay where I'm at? Then I bring people around me. Hey, here's what's been going on. God, as I was reading, I believe like God spoke to me through his Word in this, but help me to see that. Here's some circumstances. There's an opportunity, but I don't know. And then ultimately what I find that if I am trusting in these two, then all of us, the people that I bring around, this wise counsel, there will be a peace of God that leads us into truth. God affirms his calling through his people. He is a speaking God, and we can trust him. And so we must call to the Spirit to lead us and guide us, and he does so. Now listen, I want you to hear this, because it doesn't mean it's all about a feeling. Feelings lie to us. There can be some things that's like, if I feel nervous about something, that's God telling me not to do it. No, I want to tell you, everything that God calls you to do, there will be some sort of fear involved in that, because it takes faith. But there can be a peace even in the midst of fear. There can be a peace of God. I know. I don't know what's going to happen. There are all these possibilities that could happen if I do it. You know, yes, it's dangerous. Yes, it is. But I just know that God wants me to do this. You can't tell me that anyone who moves their whole family across the ocean, that there's not some sort of element of, I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. But I can tell you, I can do it because I know there's a peace of God that surpasses all understanding. A calling of God as he's spoken through his Word. There's been people around in my life who have helped affirm that this is what he has. And so when I do these things, I can do so with great confidence. So trust him. Look to him. Now, there are also times when I just feel as though, maybe you do, that God is distant. And I would say when those times come, it's not because he's left. He's not gone anywhere. But it's probably because there's things in your life that shouldn't be there. Maybe there's sin. Maybe there is attitude. Maybe there is a way of thinking that has at least made you feel like God is not present. Maybe you haven't been spending time in his Word. Whatever the case is, I want to challenge you. If that is you right now, repent. Turn from the things in your life that are not honoring or glorifying to him. Maybe there is relationship in your life that is just not healthy. Listen, if he tells us to cut our arm off, if it causes us to sin, how much more would he want us to end a relationship that causes us to sin, right? Or at least confront it. And maybe the Lord would use that to speak to you. What I'm saying is that God speaks in an infinite number of ways. There was just a lady this morning as she came in, and I introduced myself to her. She told me that the Lord had used her granddaughter to write a little note to encourage her to the things of the Lord. I want to know. He, yes, will speak through our kids and our grandkids. You see, the Holy Spirit is at work all around us, leading us to the will of God. Listen. Obey. Do you know that there is so much that we never learn because we don't trust him? He clearly calls us to step out in obedience and in faith. And because we don't experience and believe and trust that he is faithful, because we've not ever stepped out to experience his faithfulness. There are things that we
don't learn because we just choose not to obey because it's hard. It's difficult. There are so many things that God wants you to know about Him, wants me to know about Him. Those things are only learned in obedience, trusting, follow Him, believing. What's He leading you to do? Some of you know immediately. He's been calling you to do something for a while, and for whatever reason, you just haven't. Fear, worry about how someone will respond or think. Sadly, we seek to honor men way more than we do God. God, that hurt hearing myself say that. I worry about men more often than I do God sometimes. We must repent of that, right? We can't let each other continue in that. Trust Him. Follow Him. Remember what He has done. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we thank You so much for how You have spoken and been speaking. How You spoke in many ways and in many times. And we're able to hold those and read those and learn from those. Thank You for that. But God, we praise You for how You have loved us in sending Yourself, Your Son, to come. To make purification for our sin, and that was enough. Like, He was done. He said it was finished and even sat down at the right hand of God. There's no more work to be done. It's been done. It's finished. Thank You for that. And God, I pray that You would help us to take what has been done and to take it serious, to examine, to listen, to ask ourselves where our hope is found. And God, I pray that as we continue to worship and as we remember the body and the blood, that You would, God, You would remind us that we would proclaim Your resurrection. And that we would realize that You are alive and You are here, that You lead, You speak, and You embolden. God, I pray that You would wake us up. Holy Spirit, embolden us to proclaim and to share, to go. God, I pray that we would not be satisfied with being partially committed. God, I pray that we would take serious and repent. God, break our hearts for the things that break Yours. God, I pray that You would show us sin that we keep running to. That we confess it, turn from it. God, I pray that You would open the eyes of those who don't know You, who are not filled with Your Spirit. That right now, Lord, they would call to You, knowing that You are speaking to their heart. Lord, they'd place their faith and their trust in what You have done upon the cross. That, God, they would surrender all areas of life. Every thought, every deed. God, we need You. Lead and guide us, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. In this time, we are going to